الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون، أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. We are discussing about the first point that we should guard ourselves and we should correct is the tongue. Allah has given us this wonderful meal, ruhani, spiritual meal, and our taste buds must be right. So we must check our tongue, whether our tongue is clean, whether it's free from all types of dirt, then we will be able to enjoy this food. So with regard to that, there are a few other points also that we should keep in mind. One was a hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that give me the guarantee of two things and I give you the guarantee of Jannah. The one is that piece of flesh which is between the jaws, the tongue. And the other is between which is between your thighs, your private parts. Safeguard these two and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives the guarantee of Jannah. And also, if we go and consider really, the private part also gets involved in sin and is used wrong after the tongue is used wrong. If a person safeguards his tongue, inshallah, his private part will also be saved. It starts from the tongue. So this also shows how important it is that a person must look after his tongue. Use it correctly and we should not pollute it. Also, which is very interesting, is that when a child is formed in the mother's womb, after 4 months and 10 days, more or less, life comes in the child. Then the child is living. So the child needs food also. And the food of the child, Allah has made the monthly menses of the mother. So in those days, the mother doesn't get her menses. It becomes the food for her child. But that is dirty blood. It is the filthy blood, the menses blood. Blood is dirty. But that blood is exceptionally dirty. But Allah, in His wisdom and in His knowledge, He has made that the food, the nourishment for the child. And inshallah, we will explain just now one wisdom that comes to mind. Otherwise, Allah alone knows His wisdom and all His planning. So, that food is given, but the umbilical cord, which comes directly from the mother to the navel of the child. When a child is born, basically, that has to be cut. And they knot it and they put it back again for future use again. So this through the umbilical cord, this food is given to the child. So Allah Ta'ala made this arrangement, this great wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, that the food did not go through the mouth, that dirty, filthy blood. Allah kept the mouth clean, the tongue clean. So Allah took all this precaution to keep the tongue clean. And when the child comes in this world as a pure child, now it is up to the child, first to the parents, that they must keep the child's tongue pure and clean. And when the child also comes, becomes conscious and becomes responsible, then the child must keep its tongue also pure and clean. How much Allah Ta'ala made sure that this tongue does not get involved and the taste and all this filth and dirt must go through this tongue. So Allah kept it pure and clean. And then the other reason why Allah Ta'ala has made that blood, so that pride doesn't come into a person. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَأَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. Allah knows you more better, the most Allah knows you, more than what you know yourself also. إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ, when He made you from ground. We son is made in two aspects, and both He is made from ground. Either He is made from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, wa Adamu min turab, or He is made what the food His parents eat, which is converted into blood, which is converted into semen, And then the child is made from that. So from that aspect also he is from sand. And the quality of sand is to stay down. Shaitan, which he could not understand, and also is a very great lesson for us to learn. Don't become too logical and too philosophical and have too much of mantiq. Mantiq is logic. Don't be too logical. Follow the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Shaitan got cursed. He became the accursed. And he was sent out of the court of Allah because of his logic, mantiq. He said that khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created me from fire and he's created from sand. Ana khayrun minhu. I am better than him. Because fire goes up. Sand stays down. So the logical conclusion that mantiqi natija that you take out is that fire is better than sand. So shaitan followed his logic. And in there he got destroyed completely. So look at the command of Allah Ta'ala. Don't follow your logic. In here, everywhere. But your parents also, don't you follow your intelligence and your knowledge and your mantiq and your logic. What your parents tell you, accept it. Your ustad, your shaykh. Now our brains many times destroy us. Brains which are the thing to take us to the greatest heights, those very brains destroy us completely. Which Allah explains in another ayat, فَلَا تُعُجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَأَوْلَادُهُمْ. Don't be surprised and fascinated by their children and by their wealth, the non-believers, etc., those who disobey Allah. Many times, once we were in Bangladesh, in Dhaka, we were on our safar, and one friend of us said that, see, oh, how the progress also in Bangladesh now. Material things. Material things are not our progress. In the city center, how lot of big buildings, modern buildings, etc. So that is not our progress. So sometimes we get fascinated. Allah Ta'ala says, if it wasn't the fear that the Muslims will be overtaken and will be overawed with the things of the kuffar, we should have made the doors of gold, the ceilings of gold, the staircases of gold, because these things got no value by Allah. We should have given it to the kuffar in huge amounts. But that also Allah's mercy that my believing slaves mustn't be overtaken by this. So we shouldn't be overtaken by that. So Allah says, فَلَا تُعُجِبْكَ. Don't be fascinated. Don't be overtaken with the wealth and the children, etc. that we have given. فَلَا تُعُجِبْكَ مُوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبُهُمْ بِهَا. That Allah intends to punish them with that very things which they think is our great things. In this way you should understand, your wife is your wife. But if you are disobeying Allah Ta'ala, Allah will use that same wife that you love so much, and you can't give her divorce, you can't stay without her also, and she will be tormenting you when you disobey Allah Ta'ala. Your shop is your shop. But if you disobey Allah, Allah will use that very shop to punish you. You can't get out of it. You are taking loans and loans and pumping it in the business, but the business just not picking up. You're going bigger and bigger in a hole. That same business will cause you destruction. And all our other things. Like that, our brains also. Brain is to take you where? But if you don't use it the right way, obedience of Allah, and in the love of Allah is the greatest obedience, and you want to use your own brain. Hey, your parents, they'll take you to what heights? But if you want to go your way and you disobey them, you don't listen to them, that very brains of yours will destruct you. Your ustad in the class, in the same way, your shaykh also. If you want to come and you're sitting here with all preconceived ideas, and you are finding fault in everything, then this very brains of yours by which you find faults, you make a'tiraz, you criticize, you will go, you'll be destroyed. But if you will, with love and obedience, you will go very, very far. And this, we have seen so much in our madaris, in our field of studies, that those students who were obedient, who were humble, who showed respect and love to the ustad, even they were not so clever. They were not even so hard working. But Allah Ta'ala took lot of work from them. But those who are very intelligent and they had objections. And some of them abused their ustads also. Spoke bad about their ustads, etc. Insulted their ustads. They were so intelligent, so hard working, but they are nowhere to be known or to be heard of. They were completely, they were destroyed. So we shouldn't use our brains in the wrong way. Shaitan, he used his brains, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنُهُ, I'm better than him. In other words, he was making اعتراض on Allah. Allah, don't you know the simple mantik that fire goes up, sand goes down. How can a person who goes up, who is high, make sajda and respect and honor a person who is low? So that was Shaitan's problem. But the fact that emerges from here is that we are made of sand, min turab. So we have to be low. And if a person was made of fire, jinn, shaitan, he could still get this thought wrongly. He used his own brains. But it was possible for him to get that thought, I'm better. For us, the possibility of that wrong thought also is not there. And yet we have pride in us. We think we are something. It's inconceivable. That is why Allah hates pride. Pride is only worthy for Allah Ta'ala. And Allah refers to it as his chadar, his sheet. And when a person becomes proud, he's pulling the clothes of Allah. He's pulling that pride which is the clothes of Allah. He's pulling from that. If somebody pulls your clothes, you also feel offended, you feel... So the pride is only belongs to Allah. So for insan, he's not allowed to have pride. So to teach us a lesson also, that you are made with the dirty blood of your mother, her monthly menses, that is what is your foundation. That is what you are made of. From that point also, where have you got right to be proud? So Allah Ta'ala made us from there, so there should be no pride in a person whatsoever. This is a very terrible disease, which we will discuss later, but it comes in here also. So huwa a'lamu bikum idh ansha'akum min al-ard wa idh antum ajinna. When you were useless, ajinna, you were just a little clod of mud. You were just that small little thing in the mother's womb. You were nothing. You couldn't do a thing for yourself. You couldn't defend yourself. In fact, a very interesting article is written. Perhaps it's changed now. There's a very long time ago that when abortions are done and the child is still not properly formed, or it is formed also in the womb of the mother, and what are they used to take out the forceps. The forceps which they use, the child cringes and goes to the mother for protection. But the mother has ordered its destruction. Who you go to for help, that person is destroying you. Now, who is going to help you? So anyway, they may be using new ways now of doing abortions. This is quite an old article. So the child has got nobody for its support. So when you were there, Allah knew you well, and He was looking after you. So you were so weak, you were so useless when you were born. You couldn't open your eyes, you couldn't open your fist, you couldn't move your limbs, you couldn't do anything. Who is it that brought you and made you a big boy today, a big man today? You had no money, you weren't born with any money. Who gave you? It isn't that I got it from my forefathers and forefathers, Allah gave it to you. Whatever you have got, so how can you have pride in you? In the last thing that could come into a person is pride. You feel I'm an alim today. I'm giving such bayans, my qiraat, I'm such a qari. Who gave you all that? It's nothing. And even now, Allah can just make one thing go wrong in your brain and you are finished. You can become dumb now. You can't speak a word. You can't pick up a finger. Who gives you all this? Who is in? So it's only Allah's. And that is why Allah reward our shaykh. What a great shaykh Allah blessed us with. That whenever pride comes in you, the most simple remedy for it, this is takabbur, make tashakkur. Because, ascribe it to Allah. Then pride won't come. A person who boasts about somebody else's thing. One person was getting married, the groom, and he didn't have all the clothes, so his friend borrowed him. His doshala, whatever, all his clothes, shoes, everything. So the friend was also with, the groom's party was going. So they came to a town, so the people all interested, who is the groom? Say, this is the groom, but this shawl of his is mine. So he said, why are you humiliating me like that? You are borrowing me, I'm using it. Now you don't have to tell all that, I'm a poor person, I haven't even got a shawl. So he said, okay, sorry, maaf, I won't do it. So they went to the next town, they asked, who is the groom? He said, this is the groom, but I won't say anything about the shawl. So he said, why must you even say that? From there they get doubts that this is the person. So he is boasting with somebody else's thing. It's not his. So many of us, so all of us, whatever we have got is not ours. Our money is not ours. Our health is not ours. Our looks are not ours. Nothing is ours. It is Allah's. So make shukr. Then takabbur will automatically go away. Whenever takabbur comes, it's darkness. And to take out the darkness from the room, just put on the light, the switch. So easy. Just put the switch of tashakkur in to make shukr to Allah. And where the darkness goes, you don't know where it goes. You don't have to make a big effort to take out the darkness, swear it, give it 2 hour bayan. You are so bad, you are dark, and to bring sticks and to try and shoot it with guns or anything. Nothing. All you have to do is a simple thing, just put the switch on and light comes. And where the darkness vanish, you don't know. Where takabbur will vanish, when you'll make shukr of Allah. When you'll realize everything is from Allah Ta'ala. So huwa a'lamu bikum idh ansha'akum min al-ard wa idh antum ajinnatun fi butunikum fala tuzakku anfusakum. Don't say I'm so good and pure. See what you are made of. From where you have come. From where. So what you now making your big tazkiyah? And I'm very pak. Nek banna faraz hai. Apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. Apna tazkiyah karna faraz hai. اپنے آپ کو مزکہ سمجھنا that I am pure now یہ حرام ہے. A person you can never be pure. So be humble. So this humbleness, so that is a very very important thing. So in this context, Allah تبارک و تعالی on the one side the tongue Allah kept it pure. Why? And Allah sent so that the tongue must, because this tongue is going to be used for tilawat of Quran Sharif, is going to be used for zikrullah, is going to be used to read la ilaha illallah, all pure things. So Allah kept it pure. So, and the other, don't let pride, you don't deserve pride. It's impossible for you. You are stealing Allah's things when you are making, when you want to be proud. So don't be proud. So keep the tongue pure also. Allah kept it pure for you, you keep it pure. Don't dirty it. How many parents, I heard with my ears at a shopping place, the mother was telling the child, swear this person like this. So many parents, they are, they teach the children to swear. How many, this is a very, very common thing, a child learns to lie mostly from the mother. The mother tells the child, don't tell daddy, tell daddy like this, tell him like that. The mother teaches the child to lie. So lying is also one, is also of what to do with the tongue. So this also we should see that our children, we shouldn't dirty their tongues. We shouldn't spoil their tongues. Keep their tongues pure. Allah kept it pure, you keep the tongue pure. And then see, Allahu Akbar, what an example buzurgs have given. That the tongue in the mouth, it is between the two jaws. And then on each jaw, the top jaw and the bottom jaw, Allah has put so many teeth. This is like the two jaws are like two regiments of the army. The army is there to protect the tongue. Like for example, any country that has got nuclear power. So to use that nuclear power, you just have to press one button. But even the president of the country, he hasn't got the keys in his hand. It's not just for him to go up and he decides one morning, let me send a nuclear bomb to this country or to that country or this place and I'll go and press the button. There are many doors of security before he can reach there. And before that, how lot of paperwork, how many people, all the various government parties, they all have to also agree to it. Then he can go. So the tongue is that worse than a nuclear bomb. What words come out from the tongue, how it breaks a marriage. And you get married, qabul ki, so much also, qabil to. Just that one word and you are married. And that one word has brought so much of responsibilities. Now you say, I have to give a house, but I didn't agree I'm going to give a house. But now you have to provide housing for your wife. Just that one word, qabiltu. You have to give food to your wife now. You have to give clothing to your wife now. When the children will come, you will be responsible for all the expenses, for the education, for the tarbiyah, for everything you are responsible. Just with that one word, qabiltu. And to break all this off is also just one word. A person gives talaq and all this is, now he's gone into many more problems. Not just that he's absorbed, he still have to pay for his children. 4 months iddat he has to pay for his wife's expenses. After that his children he still have to look after until they become baligh. But this is all by the tongue. So to use the tongue, Allah Ta'ala put it between two jaws, two army regiments to control the tongue. And then not only that, Allah Ta'ala put all the teeth which are like the police force to go, like sometimes you bite your tongue, how it pains. So Allah put the police force there. And like in the police force, there are different groups, the types of police. One is the riot police. Whenever there are riots, they call in the riot police there. They will handle that situation. And they have got particular weapons with them. So according to them, rubber bullets, for example. They have to come with their shields, for example. The people are rioting, throwing stones, etc. So they have to protect. So they have to come in like that. So the teeth also, the two top and the two front, two bottom in front, they are different. Then the next 8 teeth, two on this side, two on this side, bottom and top, they are again different. The rest of the teeth are different. The front teeth, in order to bite, you bite your apple, you bite your pear, for that you use those teeth. Then you have your canines for eating meat. You use your canines. And this is one proof that, for example, Hindus who say they don't eat meat, Allah proved it that you got canines, that why Allah gave you canines, that you must eat meat. Meat is halal. That you don't have to only eat grass your whole life, only eat dars your whole life. Meat you must eat, but make sure it's halal, it's slaughtered properly. Then meat you must eat. So Allah gave the canines. Then the molars to crush all the food. And here is a very important aspect also as far as eating is concerned. Never rush and eat. One good friend told me one very nice saying. He says you must chew your water and eat, drink it. Water you don't chew. And you must sip your food and eat it. What he means, that water also, don't just gulp it down. Very unhealthy. It will spoil, it will destroy your kidneys. Don't drink like a camel, it comes in the Hadith Sharif. No matter how thirsty, or sometimes young boys playing soccer and how they running and exhausted, they come by a tap, put their hand under the tap, and they just one way drinking water, one way. It is very unhealthy. In fact, a person, if he hasn't drunk water, he's dehydrated. On that, one email we just received now, a top doctor of Karachi, of a certain particular medical field, he said that there is summer, especially there now, we are in winter, they are in summer, long days also, and hot days also. So he says during the whole day of Roza, a person goes through dehydration. Not complete, little, but whatever it is. The kidney becomes dehydrated, becomes dry. And when you open your Roza and you drink this fizzy drinks, gas drinks, cold drinks, Pepsi, 7-Up, Pepsi Cola, Coca-Cola, now that liver, you get almost immediate kidney failure because it's dry. And now this gas which is in there destroys your kidney. So anyway, this gas in the cold drinks is very, very harmful. Cold drinks are very harmful. We will discuss that some other time, inshallah. So this, even when a person who was dehydrated, he was left in the desert or somewhere, and now he gets water. If he drinks a sip of water, he'll die. You have to give him water. How they give in the deserts, they wet a cloth, and then they squeeze the cloth, and one drop goes in. Slowly, slowly, one drop he must drink. Then when he comes right, then he can drink more water. So whenever we drink also, and sometimes also, when that is one reason that we shouldn't drink, that is also amongst the adab and etiquette, that drink from a glass that is got a broad mouth, a big mouth. One is you can see what is inside. Don't drink from a bottle that has got a small neck, because you can't see what is inside. That also, inshallah, if Allah wishes, we'll discuss it on its place. The other thing is, with the bottle especially, if you lift it, and sometimes with friends, they play fools with one another. They just give a jerk to the bottle, and a whole lot of water goes in. It can choke you. That water can choke you, and if it's cold drink, it's worse, it can choke you. We shouldn't play such games also with one another. Even as friends, we shouldn't do that. So, and sometimes by yourself, you just lift it up a bit too much. So water should be also taken sip by sip. And according to nutritionists and dietitians, juices, first of all, that's again another subject on its own. But juices is just a whole big money-making scam. One person opened a juice factory in Karachi. He told Maulana Mazhar Sahab, Dahmat Barakatuhum, that in here is only money, that's all. Because it's plain water, and you just add some synthetic. And they write there 100% pure juice, and 100% this and that. There is nothing 100% in there. It's just some synthetic essence which they add, and it's just water. That is all. Like many people, this mineral water, purified pure water, they from the taps they fill it. Coca-Cola company, which is supposed to be such a reputable company, they were caught in India that they were filling tap water in the bottles and selling it as mineral water. How many? 10, 15 times more the price of ordinary water. So all this is just a big bluff. So even juices, if you drink genuine juice, you make it at home, pomegranate juice, orange juice, whatever, the body gets the benefit of it when you sip and drink it. When you drink it in gulps, it just goes down. A person who sips little, so food or drink also sip it, which he, my friend said, chew it. How you chew food, in other words, chew your water, your liquid, like that, sip it, very, very. And your food, sip it. That means how you sip. In other words, make it, chew it properly. Make it very fine. And then afterwards you take it down. And Allah Ta'ala's system. Like whenever we hear about food, we see food, we smell food, then automatically water comes in the mouth. We all take it because we enjoy food. In Afrikaans, ons lust vir die kos. We enjoy the food, that lust, that enjoyment. That is why water comes in the mouth. No, it's not for that. It is Allah's system. Your machine, you're going to start working it now. You have to oil it before the things come in. What you're going to use the machine for? You have to start oiling your machine. This is the oiling system of Allah Ta'ala. That it oils, and without the saliva, if a person has a sickness that his mouth is not making saliva, that person will be very sick, and he won't be able to eat food also. We know, like in Roza, sometimes your tongue gets dry, your mouth gets dry. How you feel? So the saliva ordinarily it has to be there. This greasing and oicing and oiling in the mouth, and food even more. So Allah made the system that you sort of enjoy the food. That's where it comes. But this is actually Allah's oiling and greasing of that food, so that it can be digested properly. So when we eat also, chew it properly. So Allah gave us the molars. That work. Don't leave it to the intestines. The intestines also, they are two, the big intestine, the small intestine. They also got their work to crush the food, to make it, the other ones, the smaller intestines, to make it more fine. Now the stomach, it will go into the stomach. The computer lies put in the stomach when the food has been chewed and made fine. Now the stomach can take the benefit of that food, and what is good for the eyes, the computer in the stomach sends it to the eyes. And you eat carrots, You just eat carrots. The computer Allah put in the stomach. It will send that vitamins to the eyes. You eat pomegranate or juice, or you eat the fruit. The stomach sends it to the heart, good for the heart. You eat apple, and you'll see the shape of the apple exactly like a heart. So that goodness the stomach sends to the heart. You had that pain in your toe. Doctor gave a tablet. You had gout. Toe was paining. You put the tablet in your mouth. The pain is in your toe. But you put the tablet in your mouth. From there it goes down into your stomach. And after a while, you get relief of the pain. How it went there? The stomach sent it there. It knows it must send it there. So this is Allah Ta'ala's system. But when we don't chew our food properly, and it just goes whole, in many machines also, whatever goes like that goes out as waste on the side. Then you just go to toilet afterwards. You got full. You ate. Your stomach got full. But the stomach couldn't take the benefit of the food, and it just went out as waste. You might be eating the most healthy food. You paid lot of money for it. Very good food. But you didn't eat it in the right way. You didn't chew it properly. So Allah made this. That is a separate subject which will come inshallah if Allah wishes on its time. But yeah, what we were discussing, that Allah has put this riot police to control the tongue. And they've got all the different weapons. The front teeth, they are different. The canines are sharp pointers. The front teeth, they are like spades. Allah made them like that. Then the molars are like hammers. These are all to control the tongue also, that you must think what you speak. What can happen? And also, for example, a person who is the head of department, the person who is the president, the prime minister, his tongue must be even more careful. And a person who is a street sweeper, if he makes a mistake, it's not such a big mistake. But the person who is big, who is in charge, who is at the top, his tongue must be even more careful. So the tongue, a person has to look. So Allah put two regiments, the jaws, to look after the tongue. And Allah put the whole police force to look after the tongue. Because what the tongue speaks is very, very important. It comes in the Hadith Sharif that Al-Muslimu, man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A Muslim, also understand that deen's knowledge is not from kitabs. Na kitabo se, na wazo se, na zar se paida. Deen hota hai buzurgo ki nazar se paida. If you look only from the kitabs, like this hadith on the internet in kitabs, that al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi. A Muslim is that person that the other Muslims are safeguarded, are protected from his tongue and from his hands. So you will now come to the conclusion, if you use your own brains, that if a person, other Muslims are not protected from your tongue, you cause them injury, inconvenience, harm with your tongue or with your hand, then you're not a Muslim. But that will be a complete wrong conclusion. That is where Salafis go wrong, where they use their own discretion, their own brains. Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that we follow what was the meaning of the hadith, not from the words, but which has come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And an alim that graduates from our madaris is not who passed the exam really. That's a separate thing. That is not the real sanad. That's a madrasa. The real sanad is that he studied that under his ustad. And his ustad studied it under his ustad. And only Islam has got this great, great distinction in the world. Nobody else has got it. Where our knowledge today, any alim who graduates, he can tell you who his ustads were, right till Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as hadith is concerned, the sanad is so strong. Then, those who have made effort have found a sanad in fiqh also, but very rare. But hadith sanad is still today 100% strong. And the other sunnat which is also in Islam, which is so strong, is the sunnat of tasawwuf. That whoever has got khilafat, he knows from my share, his share, right till Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These two things are so about our own lineage. I know my father's name, I know my grandfather's name, great-grandfather, many of us don't know. Great-great-grandfather, hardly anyone knows. And there is no chance above that. Unless the Sayyid family, mashallah, the Sayyid family in the world, they have got their lineage also. And they have got the lineage till Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, all of us, we don't know. In many countries, you ask them, we came from that country, but we don't even know that if there's any of our ancestors, anyone living there. But in Islam, the hadith sanad is so strong till today, alhamdulillah. Then the tasawwuf sanad and the Sayyid family, the family of Ali Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they also have got their sanad. So anyway, al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. So you can't make it the proper meaning from the words only. You need the explanation. This is a Muslim, a kamil, a perfect Muslim. He is that person that does not cause any harm or injury to anyone else. If a Muslim is causing harm to somebody, then it means he is a Muslim. Don't take him out of the fold of Islam. There are enough takfiris in the world, making everyone kafir. Now this year, don't become a takfiri. Just because now you read the hadith, and this person hurt somebody, or injured somebody with his tongue, now he's a kafir. Na'uzubillah. No, he's not a Muslim, he's not a perfect Muslim. He is a Muslim. He will go to Jannat still. But he's not a perfect Muslim. So that a perfect Muslim is he who does not harm anyone by his tongue nor by his hands. So but it does not harm any Muslim. So one person asked Maulana Abrar al-Hajj Sahib rahmatullah alayh, this means that a Muslim is allowed to harm and injure non-Muslims. He can swear, backbite, do bad, swear vulgar with the non-Muslims. Then Maulana explained to him, no, again, yeah, you can't just follow the words and the apparent meaning from the words. You'll have to get the explanation. And the explanation is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a Muslim will not cause harm to another Muslim. Because Muslims, all communities live with themselves commonly. As a Muslim, your family is Muslim, your friends are Muslims, where you go, all you are Muslims. That's why the word Muslim was used. But everyone is meant. He does not cause harm even to a non-Muslim. And so much so, ulama, shurah, hadith have written, he does not cause harm to animals also. Which comes clearly in the hadith, that lady who was so pious, but she fastened her cat, and did not feed the cat, and did not allow it to look for its own food also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, finnar. She will be paid for it. She will go to the fire of Jahannam. So even animals we are not allowed. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was visiting our country on one safar. And in Pretoria, Lodium, he was hosted by Haji Abramji, well, prominent man of Lodium. And after all the programs, lunch, supper, everything, Hazrat's bedroom was prepared. And what a bedroom. More better than a hotel bedroom, everything. So they showed Hazrat. So Hazrat went in. In the morning when they came and fetched Hazrat for Fajr, they found Hazrat did not sleep on the bed. He slept on the floor. So they said, Hazrat, why? We prepared this bed, special, everything. He said, when I came in the room, there was a cat sleeping on the bed. And fast asleep, deep sleep. So I said, who am I that because of me, I must wake and spoil the sleep of this cat? So, and you see, your carpets are, mashallah, 7 sheer carpets. More than enough for us. We sleep on grass mats. We sleep just on straw mats. And this carpet, which I slept very comfortably. So this is that a Muslim, even that cat when it's sleeping, you won't even disturb that cat. This is a kamil Muslim. This is one, what we call a Sufi, a wali of Allah. This is what it means to be a wali. Not just to put on big jubbas and a big amama and lot of athar and a big tasbih. No, this akhlaq must be in a person. This is what is required. Hadrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullahi once in the Khankah in Jalalabad. It was rainy season, monsoons. and everywhere puddles of water. They were read Asr Namaz, they were coming to the Khanqa. And there were puddles of water everywhere, and ducks were playing in the water. And they were enjoying, you could see how they enjoying playing in the water. So Hazratji took a long cut, he went the other way around. When he reached the Khanqa, he asked those friends who were with him, the murids, "Do you know why I came this long way?" "No, Hazrat, why?" He says, "Those ducks were playing, this is our road, if we should pass them, they should all have ran away." How they are considerate. Eh? So that is what is a Muslim. Abrar, the meaning of Abrar, Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali means Abrar, the very pious people. Mulla Ali Qari says, Al Qari says, Alladina la yu'duna dhar, wa la yardawna shar, who do not even harm an ant. And they cannot see wrong being done. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah explains one Buzur was amongst the Abrar. When he went somewhere for namaz, on the way he saw haram acts carry on guna. He became so affected, temperature, high fever he developed. He came back to the house, he covered himself to sleep, etc. And when he urinated, blood came out. He couldn't see haram to that. We see so much haram, but it means nothing to us. Not the thought even comes to make dua, "Ya Allah, remove this haram." In our houses, haram. Photos on everything, we buy haram things. We are so much involved in haram in our own house, with our friends, in our own lifestyle. And it means on our phones. Musical tones. We got photos of our children, grandchildren on our phones. All this haram, but it means nothing to us. But the Abrar are those that they cannot tolerate this haram. Once we were with Colonel Amiruddin Marhum, who was very staunch in Jamaat and Tabligh work. And the first time he came to South Africa was very long in the white government time, apartheid government. And he came by ship. When he came to Durban docks, and he had to fill in his form, purpose of end visit. So he wrote there, to conquer your country. He was a colonel. They put him on the same ship and they sent him away again. He was a man. He went to Egypt, Cairo. He made namaz in one masjid. And of course, Egyptians, Quran Sharif, Allah has blessed them. Their recitation, who can match them? They read so beautiful Quran. Imam Qari read so beautiful. In fact, my one brother-in-law says when he went, he saw the person who was cooking. And the next he saw him making imamah. So he said, "What this person is going to read? A cook. How is he going to read?" But he said when he read Quran, Allahu Akbar. So beautiful Quran. So Allah has gifted them. So anyway, this Imam Sahib read very beautiful Quran. And the Imams have a room of their own just with the masjid. If anyone wants to discuss, they sit there before namaz, after namaz. And from there understand also imamat is a full-time job. Imamat is not last time, last minute you come and you come on the musalla. The real imam will come half an hour before and then they have a room. Anyone want to discuss matters with him, they'll discuss. After namaz, he'll sit again half an hour. If it's necessary, 1 hour. People want to come make a mashura. One person 15 minutes, another person 15 minutes, another person 20 minutes. So that is a full-time imam. That is really the imam. And there's imams that we have 2-3 imams for one masjid. So really there is no imam. Imam is not only to read the namaz, he must be an imam of the community. And he must be not a young person, he must be a bit elderly that the people have trust in him. That he's responsible, he's matured, he can, that is actually imam. That is also anyway a separate subject, also very important. So anyway, Colonel Amiruddin went in there to meet him, and he said he wanted to meet the imam. So he went there, so there was one person sitting there. So he said, "Oh, I came to meet the imam." He said, "I'm the imam." He said, "No, the imam who made namaz now." He said, "I made the namaz." He said, "No, the imam with the full beard, proper sunnah beard." He said, "I'm the imam." He said, "But you got no beard, completely clean shaven." So he had a wig, so he showed him the wig. That is the wig. So Colonel Amiruddin got so angry and gave him a slap that you're making a mockery out of the sunnah. And it is in these cases when we, with our hands, do these things, the government make laws that nobody is allowed to keep beards. Then we blame the government, we blame other people, but it's our own actions. that bring this upon us. When we don't make qadr of what Allah has given us and we don't use it, then Allah Ta'ala makes some such laws, Allah causes blockages then for us. In the same strain, I mentioned that there was Qadi Abdul Wahhab. He was the Amir of the Tabligh in Ahmedabad in India. He was such a person of such great level that Maulana Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Qazi Sahib ki qadar karo. Inka maqam bahut uncha hai. Ordinary man, he wasn't an alim also, but he had that maqam. He went also in Jamaat and they were in Baghdad. And the Imam was making khutbah with tie and suit. He went on the minbar and he threw him down from there. After that, Mala Inamul Hassan Sahib stopped him from traveling to foreign countries. Because Jamaat usuls are not like that. Jamaat doesn't work like that. And he said, you will cause impediments for the work, you blockages for the work. And but his nature, that is abrar, who can't take a, they can't see a wrong thing done. Anyway, Colonel Amiruddin, we were in Lodium with him, and we were doing gusht, we were going in a kumbi, and there was a Muslim brigade, with all this music and girls and marching on the street, and how the girls and Muslim brigade. So he asked, what is this? We told him they call this a Muslim. He says, we in Canada, we get off and we give them a good hiding. So these are the abrar who cannot take the wrong. Today we are imam in a masjid, 20 years, our mutawalli hasn't got a beard, not one day the thought came to me that I must tell him, Hadrat, beard is so, you should keep beard is wajib. Neither did I even make ever dua for him. Neither did I use somebody else to tell him all the wrong that is carrying on in our communities. Weddings are taking place in such a wrong way. As a Maulana, forget telling them not to do it. I'm the one first there to go and attend a wedding. And I make the nikah there in the hall, where there is videoing, there where is kawadi, where there is music, and I'm there. So the abrar are those people who cannot see anything wrong. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْذُونَ الذَّرْ And they do not even harm an ant. And Mala Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali himself, our Shaykh says, I saw him, he was making wudu, and there were ants, he moved from there to another place. There were ants, he moved to, so the, and we will just flood. Big flood came, tsunami, and all the ants washed them away. But the abrar, they wouldn't even cause harm to an ant. That is the abrar. And also, Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, we learn from our chef, he learned from his chef, that whenever we eat at some people's place, then give them the du'as also. One of the du'as is, أَكَلَ تَعَامُكُمُ الْأَبْرَارِ So one person who was with Mawlana Abrar al-Haq Sahib, ordinary person, not an alim, he thought, he understood the meaning of the du'a, he asked somebody, that may Abrar eat your food. So in other words, Hazrat is preparing for next da'wat. That I eat this da'wat and next da'wat. So when he became now like a chef, and somebody gave him da'wat, he put his name, Akala Ta'amukumul Ahmad, or whatever his name was, that for the future. So just by name you don't become an abrar. By when you have these qualities in you, then you become an abrar. So this, these are the abrar who do not cause any harm. So these qualities we should try. So this hadith, al-Muslimun, man salim al-Muslimuna, Muslimun, all Muslims also, non-Muslims, even animals you don't cause harm. And in fact, which comes in the hadith, a true Muslim does not even pollute the environment, harm the environment. It comes in the hadith, don't urinate where people sit under a tree, the environment. Don't urinate in the water, in a swimming pool. And on that, this Bella, the new names, wombats, where natural hot water comes out, which is healthy, and it's a tourist attraction. Tourists go there, and there is a public swimming pool, and everyone goes to the public swimming pool to go and swim there. In fact, one good friend of ours who's got a outfitting shop, material clothing shop. So he says one 60-year-old nani ma came to his shop, grandmother. And she said, bhai, bikini hoi to deni? She wanted to buy a bikini, 60-year-old. He said, nani ma, tamune bikini ni jarur. You need a bikini, 60-year-old. What is going to be there? Matchsticks and you want to wear a bikini? She said, they don't allow you in the public pool without a bikini. And that public pool, that same person told us, because they stay there, they know. the water, the sparkling blue, how beautiful, clean, like sparkling. But when they tested it, 60% urine, human urine in there. Only with the chemicals it's capsule. And when you swim, you go in the water, inevitably water goes in your mouth also, goes in your eyes or ears also, nose also, water enters, and 60% urine, and there the predominant tourists are non-Muslims who eat swine, who drink wine. Our urine and our stool is also napak, filthy, dirty. But these people who eat wine and drink wine and eat swine, and that urine, and we enjoy that. Release it. Where our imani level is. That we can't even make out today. We can't think what is right, what is wrong. So al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna. And in Muslimun is all human beings. And all animals. The environment also. Don't pollute the environment also. That is a perfect Muslim. And that is what we have to start. And that is why we have come here in Ramzan. That we become not just a Muslim, but a perfect Muslim. Not a first, not only a third class Muslim, you'll go to Jannah. Second class, no, first class. That is what Allah wants from us. That is what our Nabi wants from us. That is what every Shaykh wants from his murid, that he must be the best. Not only passable, but the best. So this is that. So that is a Muslim that he does not cause any harm with his tongue. With the tongue, again, Allahu Akbar, see the ulama of Islam, the muhaddithin, shurai, hadith, how they have explained. It is both literally the tongue also. And it means what it comes out from the tongue, the words. From the tongue also. Like for example, small children got a habit when they want to play fools or they want to tease a big man, they will show him his tongue like that. That would be like insulting him. So that also is not allowed with your tongue. And from there understand what your eyes also. The eyes, they don't speak, but the signs they make. What signs? Like somebody said something, you look at your friend. What is he saying? That is also haram. And sometimes when in bayans, and forget only what the eyes, some places, there is a different environment. Some people who don't understand, few times it happened, that whole tablighi environment. You go give a khanqa bayan, and they actually say he's talking rubbish. Now for how, and or they make signs with their eyes or something like that. How dangerous is in this? So anyway, with the tongue, either you use your tongue in order to do haram, or with the tongue also, if you have got an illicit love affair, and with your tongue you are kissing and all that also is totally haram. And with the tongue, the words that come out also, that is the main thing. So that also a person must be very careful how he uses his tongue. And also the tongue is that when you use it wrong, it's not the tongue that suffers, the other parts of the body suffers. You told, so you swore somebody, etc. That person comes and give you a slap. That person kicks you because of the tongue. And also, in the hadith, al-Muslimu, man salim al-Muslimuna, min lisanihi is first, wa yadihi is afterwards. And there is real system. Huzur sallallahu, what ulum Allah had given. That a person, when he fights with somebody, he doesn't just go and punch the person. First he uses his tongue. You did this, you said that. Then he gets hot. Then he's building up. Now he becomes more angry. Then he starts using his tongue. You'll never see that a person is hitting somebody and he's quiet. While he's hitting also, he's shouting, he's swearing. Never a still movie. There's no words being spoken, only actions taking place. It doesn't happen like that. So first everything starts with the tongue, then your hands start being used. So look after your tongue, your hands will be saved. Your tongue you use, then your private parts get used also. So keep away. It's not just a man just goes to a woman and start committing haram like that. There's a whole big story before that. And the tongue, the eyes are the first there. They first see. Then the tongue starts, the heart plans, the mind does planning. And the tongue speaks. Then you reach to the total haram place finally. The most dirtiest, filthiest place you reach when it starts with the eyes. There Allah Ta'ala cut off the whole guna by cutting off the, you don't use your eyes wrongly. and you will get saved of that whole guna. So the tongue is a thing that we should use very carefully. It comes in the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held his tongue and said that it is because of this that how many people will be thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam. It seems a small thing, and many of us just don't regard anything much about the tongue. Who of us really ask ourselves, did I ever think I must make islah of my tongue? Of my speech, how I speak, I must make islah. We don't think, and it is such a big thing. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it so much importance. So therefore, it is very important. And then, with the gunas of the tongue, there are so many. I will just mention them today. Tomorrow, inshallah, if Allah wishes, we will go into a little discussion. Lying is for with the tongue. All the gunas of lying, and how many hadith there is of on lying. Ghibat, backbiting, that is from the tongue also. And then blabbering, unnecessary speech, talking too much. And if a person learns the use of the tongue, he will be a master of language. Any language, whichever language, the most, one of the greatest to be a master of that language is that you are concise. In a few words, you say a lot of things. And this is taught, that first think and then speak. When you're writing, think before you speak. Don't just you say anything. So if a person thinks, he will become jami'ul kalam. His speech will be very concise. Few words, but lot of meaning in it. So this, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was blessed with this great quality, that concise, to be jami'. That to say a few words and lot of meaning. So this will come when we make islah. Every person, without going to school and university, no master's degree or anything, but you will have your speech, you will be able to speak if we make tarbiyat. We make islah of our tongue. And this only so much, think before you speak. That is all. And see that how your speech will become beautiful, golden your speech will become. So one is slandering. False accusation of people. One is chughli, rumor mongering, and carrying tales from this person to that person. All these gunas are related to the tongue. So ghibat, backbiting, slandering, lying, blabbering, just talking unnecessarily, all this, the tongue. So if we learn how to use the tongue, learn to use the tongue correctly, this ruhani ni'mats of Allah, Quran Sharif, Ramzan Sharif, all this, we will get the enjoyment of it. But if the tongue is filthy and dirty, we won't get the enjoyment of all these things. So we have to learn. So make our niyat that we have come here, all amongst other things also, to make islah of our tongue, the usage of the tongue, that we learn to use it correctly. And this tongue breaks the hearts of people. The tongue is more worse than what sticks and stones can do, what damage and harm you can cause with your tongue. A person must learn how to use his tongue. There is also a very important aspect of deen. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Subhanallah.